Green light. All right. Man, it's been powerful so far. So how'd you like the rookie doing the Torah portion today? Pretty good? In fact, there were some very good points. You brought out 3 points. And a lot of times we get involved with the progression and we forget about that. So let's see if we can remember. Tom, just bring out 2 points you would like us to go home with.
To go home with that we should honor God with everything we have and everything that He blesses us with, and that we should be diligent to try to obey Him because we love Him and for no other reason.
Yeah. All right. But there were some other things that he had said that's going to be tied in with my message today. Let me get my water first. Can you hand me my water? Thank you. Powerful praise today. All right. Today's message. You know, we look at this lion every week, but we don't see. Today, we're going to give this lion some teeth, and we're going to give him some claws. Because the lion that sits on the throne is not toothless.
Amen.
We're going to learn a little bit about that today. Revelation 5:5 and thereafter. But one of the elders said to me, "Do not weep. The lion of the tribe of Judah, the root of David, has prevailed to open the scroll and to loose its 7 seals. And I looked and beheld in the midst of the throne and the 4 living creatures, in the midst of the elders, stood a lamb as though it had been slain, having 7 horns and 7 eyes, which are the 7 spirits of the Almighty sent out into all the earth." And I'm going to pause it right there. That was Revelations 5, 5 and 6. Okay. Lion in Scripture. It's mentioned around 120 times. The lamb, that is mentioned a little over 200 times. So we got these two animals, the lion and the lamb, mentioned myriads of times in the scriptures. But the lion is in a myriad of contexts. Sometimes we see it in a good context, and sometimes we see it, the lion describing our enemy. So, I tell you what, to borrow some words of Moshe, let's go over and look into this amazing sight and find out why this bush is on fire and it's not consumed. Moshe was inquisitive, and what he found out changed his life when he went to look at this bush. But anyway, today, let's look at nature. Let's see what creation may unlock some of the mysteries of what we want to delve into. So, what makes lions so formidable? First of all, they're not the largest cat. The tigers are. So they're the second largest cat. The lions, the males, can reach nearly 6 foot long and 500 pounds. That's a lot of muscle to be slinging around. They're not the fastest felines. They only chase their prey from about 50 to 100 meters. Then they give up. So they are known more for their stalking, not for their chasing. Compared to the other big cats, they don't possess the best of the senses. But lions are most active at night because their keenest sense is their sight. They're pretty good in low light situations. Lions are fearless. They may call off a hunt or use evasive maneuvers, but you will rarely see an adult lion running from something unless it's another lion. Proverbs 30:30 talks about the lion, which is mightiest among beasts, and it does not back before any. In other words, retreat. Again, Proverbs 28. The wicked flee when no one pursues, but the righteous are as bold as lions. So the lions have a reputation. How did they earn that, though? Lions are the only wildcats that live in groups. The only ones. That group's called a pride. Only in the lion gender or species are the males so distinct from the females, the lions and the lionesses. And we all know that the male lions have the big heavy manes. They're almost 200 pounds heavier than the females, the lionesses. The prides, okay, the males' main responsibility is security. It's not to provide the food, although they join the hunts. Sometimes they need the males to finish off on a big, like a Cape buffalo or something like that, or an elephant. They've been known to bring down elephants. But the male's main responsibility is security. The pride's territories have more influence on their social development than any other factor. So in other words, the range, the size of the territory, the type of prey, the vegetation type, whether it's all grassland or woody, the weather, water supply, that all influences the behavior of a pride. So you can't go to one pride and think that you're going to duplicate the behaviors in another pride. They have a complex pride hierarchy consisting of experience, seniority, and strength. It's not always in that order, so it's complex. Bonding is very important to the success of the pride. Lion mothers have no problems nursing or disciplining other pride cubs. Now, there are sometimes, for some reason, a lion will be excommunicated from the pride. And it's not always understood by man. We all know that young male lions will sometimes have to leave and go on their own to start their own pride. But there's sometimes female lions are excommunicated from the pride. We don't know why exactly. Lions have the most fearsome roars of all felines. In fact, there's only 4 cats that roar: the tiger, the lion, the jaguar, and the leopard. Now, you say, well, what about our mountain lions over here? That's more of a scream. It's not considered a roar. They use their roars for communication. They, a lot of times, will announce their location by their roar. On a hunt, sometimes they'll roar just to let each other know where they're at. Also, the roars are like if you were in the military, in the Air Force, you would know what IFF it is: identification of friend or foe. These roars, they can identify if it's somebody from the pride, or not. And believe me, they will get upset when they hear even a speaker that has a recording of another roar from another lion from another pride. So, in Hosea 11:10, it says, "They shall go out after the Lord. He will roar like a lion, and when he roars, his children shall come trembling from the west." Pretty amazing. But it's the scripture uses the roaring. Also, lions can use their roars strategically in their hunts. They use this to confuse their enemy. A lot of times they can roar, and the faster game, like impalas, can run them right into the jaw, the waiting paws and jaws of the fellow pride members. Let's look at Isaiah 5:26-29. "He will lift up a banner to the nations from afar, and he will whistle to them from the end of the earth. Surely they shall come with speed, swiftly. No one will be weary or stumble among them. No one will slumber or sleep, nor will the belt on their loins be loosed, nor the strap of their sandals be broken, whose arrows are sharp and all their bows bent. Their horses' hooves will seem like flint and their wheels like a whirlwind. Their roaring will be like a lion. They will roar like young lions." Yes, they will roar and lay hold of their prey. They will carry it away safely, and no one will deliver. When you get a pride of lions and they get their prey, there is no deliverance from anybody. And who is the lions that he's talking about here? He's the one whistling. Who's he calling to? Could it be us? Getting back to the lions, their group interactions and their hunting strategies are more cognitive than instinct. They plan their hunts according to what type of terrain they have, grassland, woods. They will, if it's young prey, if it's injured, if it's large, if it's small, they all strategize and change their hunting tactic to fit the situation. Also, they also strategize by the different strengths of the different lions. Sometimes you get one female that's very experienced, and she has two or three cubs that she's teaching. Or sometimes you have four or five very experienced females on the hunt. So that will determine their strategies. Very interesting. In this way, herds actually become healthier and stronger, because the lions are culling the weaker and the old. Now, there's a lot of people, when they watch something on one of the channels, Animal Planet, people are usually rooting for the victim to get away, especially if it's a little baby or something like that. But guess what? 66% of the time, the lions are not successful. So two-thirds. One out of three hunts are successful. But I have to kind of say something here. we do have kind of a soft spot, especially for the young ones. Whether it's a young lion cub, whether it's a human cub. Here's the thing. Sometimes we get our emotions in the way of reality, what reality should be. In fact, sometimes I think there's some people that if demons had babies, there'd be people that would say, "Oh, isn't that little demon baby cute?" So we have to get over that. We're lions. We got to get over that. And not everything is just hunky-dory for lions, too, because cubs, only 2 in 10 make it to adulthood. Only 2 in 10. As a cub, you have to fear a rival lion, hyenas, leopards. There's all kinds of things, disease, starvation. There's all kinds of things that knock out a cub before it ever makes it to adulthood. But guess what? Even then, the strongest of the cubs survive. Let's just camp on this for just a minute. How many cub Christians, we'll call them, ever survive? Ever make it to adulthood? We have a high mortality rate too. People that come in to the kingdom or give their lives to the Lord, and for some reason, we lose them. I wonder if it's the same percentage. It would be close. How many people that you used to know are not with you now? For those who have been Christians 20 years or more, the Christians that you knew 20 years ago, where are some of them now? We all know some that have left the faith. Or we know some that have been injured so bad that they're no longer effective. Even lions have a hard time. Now let's take a look at sheep. The thing about sheep, you would not believe it, but nurturing and recognition are their two major factors to survival. They have to bond with other sheep to survive. If they don't, they do not survive. One of the strongest things that they, or one of the things that you would think besides nurturing, you say recognition. Well, the lamb has to be able to identify its mother because it can get lost in a flock. The flocking instinct is a very strong, compelling force in a sheep. They have to be able to hear their mama. And then as sheep, they have to be able to identify their shepherd. So recognition and identification is so important for the survival of sheep. Loud noises. Hey, lions love it. Loud noises. In fact, the roar of a lion can be heard up to 5 miles away. That's a big mouth. That's a big roar. There's no other cat that can roar as loud as lions do. But loud noises frighten sheep. Sheep are very domestic and they are followers. So sheep rely very heavily on the care and protection of the shepherd. It's very common for ewes when they lamb to just ignore their babies. This is why the shepherd has to be there right on the spot to try to get the mother to bond with the baby. Otherwise, the mortality of the lambs would be a lot higher than what it is now. Yeshua is known as the lion and the lamb, as we read in Revelation 5. The lion and a lamb. it seems so opposite. How can one thing be both? Here we got a clean animal and an unclean animal. So looking at it from a religious point of view, huh, a lion, they're unclean. However, there's still something very special, even though we may let the uncleanness get in our way. So we too, a lot of times, we too are referred to in Scripture as lambs and as lions. Is something schizophrenic here? I mean, why would we? It's almost like the opposite ends of the spectrum of the animal world, and we're both. And Yeshua is both. When are we supposed to act like a lamb? When are we supposed to behave like a lion? Well, if we're born from above, if we are born from above, we have the seed from above. And that seed would be a holy seed, the seed of Yeshua. We're supposed, as a seed of Yeshua, we are supposed to look like our parent. We're supposed to act like our parent, because we're born of his seed, the seed from above, born again. So maybe if we look at Yeshua, we can see some hints and some answers. Let's look at Micah 5, starting with verse 2. Let's set some groundwork here. But you, O Bethlehem, Ephratah, who are too little to be among the clans of Judah, from you shall come forth for me one who is to be ruler in Israel, who is coming forth is from old, from ancient days. Therefore he shall give them up until the time when she who is in labor has given birth. Then the rest of his brothers shall return to the people of Israel, and he shall stand and shepherd his flock in the strength of the Lord, in the majesty of the name of the Lord his God. And they shall dwell secure, for now he shall be great to the ends of the earth. So here we see that the ruler is coming back for his sheep. That's us. So here we see our Messiah coming back for his sheep. All right, I'm going to ask you a little question here. Which scenario is more possible? For a lamb to behave as a lion, or for a lion to behave as a lamb? Which is more possible? Okay, if you were a lamb and trying to act like a lion, do you have the teeth to? All right, you don't have the roar. Okay, now you're a lion. Is it easier for a lion to eat grass than it is for a lamb to eat meat?
Yeah.
Of course it is. A slug of meat will not go through all the stomachs that a lamb has. It just won't happen. And the other thing, even if it did, it takes a lot more calories to digest meat. And as woolly as sheep are, they would overheat, because the digestion of meat creates a lot more heat than the digestion of grass. So it's easier for a lion, to just be quiet and to mix in with a herd or a flock of sheep than it is for a sheep to pound his chest and walk into a pride of lions. That won't work. Anyway, so would you say Yeshua had a lot of authority? A lot? A little? Some? Yeshua had a lot of authority. On the night of his betrayal, as we see in Matthew 26, he said to his disciples, "Sheathe your swords. Do you think that I cannot appeal to my Father and he would send 12 legions of angels?" That's a lot of authority. Mega authority. But yet to fulfill the scriptures, this lion submitted himself to the will of the Father, and he submitted himself as a lamb to be slain from the foundation of the earth. The highest calling of a general in the military, the highest calling he has is to submit to the authority of his president. No matter how skillful he is in battle, how quick he can make decisions, how smart he is, his highest calling is submission to his president. That's a lion and a lamb. He's a lion, he's a general, but he is a lamb. He's submitted completely to his higher authority. Yeshua was the epitome of this trait. Now let's continue in Revelation 5. It says, "But one of the elders said to me, 'Do not weep. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, has prevailed to open the scroll and loose its seven seals,' as we read earlier. And now I'll jump down to 9. And they sang a new song. 'You are worthy to take the scroll and to open its seals, for you were slain. You have redeemed us to Elohim by your blood out of every tribe and tongue and people and nation, and have made us kings and priests to our Elohim. And we shall reign on the earth.'" Key word here, key phrase, "and we shall reign on the earth." That's a lion. He's called us to be more and above than what we are and what we're capable of by ourselves. So the tip is, lions reign. So I want you fellow disciples to listen to this conclusion. And it may not be crystal clear about when to be a lamb, when to be a lion. But to be successful in the kingdom, you must possess the positive attributes of both of these animals. And I'm not going to really say animals, I'll say creations. Because we're not animals, but we look to his creation to kind of see how what he's meaning at. I mean, that's the best way to get his spirit in you, is to actually see it. I'll give you a tip from my perspective. When to be a lamb or when to be a lion is determined on which way you're facing. You say, what do you mean by that? If I face my authority, Jerusalem, I'm to be a lamb. When he gives me the words, the word of the Lord, and I'm to declare it. We had a song about declaring the word of the Lord. Are we going to bah the word of the Lord? Or are we going to roar the word of the Lord? You submit a lamb. Then you're a lion to the world, to the nations. Psalm 95. For he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture and the sheep of his hand. Today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as in Meribah, as on the day of Massah in the wilderness. So there is a time when we have to face the mission. In Micah 5, we continue. Then the remnant of Jacob shall be in the midst of many peoples, like dew from the Lord, like showers on the grass, which delay not for a man, nor wait for the children of men. And the remnant of Jacob shall be among the nations. If you think that fits you, you can say amen to yourself. Jacob will be among the nations in the midst of many peoples, like a lion among the beasts of the forest, like a young lion among the flocks of sheep, which when it goes through, it treads down and tears in pieces, and there is none to deliver. Your hand shall be lifted up over your adversaries, and all your enemies shall be cut off. This is our heritage, to be able to walk through the nations as a lion would through a flock, with him in us, not on our own, but empowered by him. That's what he would like for his disciples to be like. He tells Jeremiah, young Jeremiah, and you can read Jeremiah 1 through the chapter of 1 to get the gist of this. But he tells Jeremiah, he says, dress for action. Stand up and tell them everything I order you to say. When you confront them, don't break down, or I will break you down in front of them. He's wanting us to be lions with his word. Now, let's make no mistake, and let's not be blind or foolish or reckless. Let's go back to that lion who was excommunicated. 1 Peter 5:8 says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Well, I've heard a lot of messages saying that this lion is toothless, it's been declawed. Well, there's going to be a time for that. But right now, Peter, in his wisdom, after walking with the Savior, is saying, he's roaring and he's looking for you. Now, I want to just say a little something about these lions that go off on their own. Usually they're driven off. It's not usually something that they choose to do. The lions that roam alone are very dangerous, because they are vulnerable, they don't have others around for security, and they are desperate. They are driven by hunger, because they can only get tidbits here and there as a only hunter. They can only get the small stuff. They can only rob stuff that maybe a leopard killed it. They can only, eat what's left of what the leopard, or run the leopard off so that they can eat it. So their gourmet dinners are gone. Their roar is loud because they have no rest. The devil's roar, what is the devil's roar? Let's put it in what we can use today. How about this roar? Did God expect you to obey all those out-of-date instructions? His son did away with all that. How about another roar? D Do you think he'll heal? Do you think he'll provide? Do you think he will protect you? And it goes on and on. These are the type of roars that you have to resist. Plain and simple, don't listen and resist roars like this. These are the roars of lies. We have to distinguish, discern truth from lies. Imagine the lamb that was slain is now the lion resurrected. You're not going to see him return as a lamb. We already know what he's going to be like when he comes back. The lamb that came then is the lion that is revealed now. Let's look at Matthew 28:18. We'll close with this. Get a drink. Yeshua came and talked with them. He said, "All authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make people from all nations into Talmudim," that's disciples. Make them into disciples, immersing them into the reality of the Father and the Son and the Ruach HaKodesh, and teaching them, that's the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And remember, I will be with you always, even unto the end of the age. He has taught us everything. Everything that's in this word. So, let's protect our little lion cubs. That prayer today was really a mighty prayer. It didn't have to have a lot of flowery, eloquent language. It was mighty because it came from a simple, pure heart. That's the kind of prayer I would like for me, too. So, we put teeth in this lion. He is the Lion of Judah, but he's the lion over the whole earth. I just appreciated very much the worship today because it really exemplified that too. So that will do it. Is there any other comments before we close down? No. Every third one.
Oh, every third
one. Yeah. So 66% are not successful. And what happens is, you know, sometimes they will pick out a prey and it's not as weak as they thought it was. And so, you know, this thing is a little bit too much to, you know, too big a bite. Let them go. Because when a lion gets wounded, there's no vets. There's no lion vets. There's no doctors in the pride. You break a leg or you lose an eye or something like that, you're a goner. So lions have to protect themselves. All right.
I got a question. Why do you think Christian world believes that he's coming back as the lamb again?
I think one reason, and there's probably a lot of reason, but they probably still see him on the cross. They probably got their picture of him or a little crucifix in their house, and he's still here. They haven't seen him beyond that. And to see him beyond a lamb, it would be about the same thing. They don't see his victory. Now, true, there's don't take anything away from the sacrifice. The lamb slain from the beginning of the world. There's nothing, that is mighty in itself. But to go beyond that and to take us along with him, man, that is something. That is really something. Well, I am going to bless you guys with putting the name of our Elohim on you. It's from number 6. So receive this blessing. Yevarechecha Adonai v'yishmorecha. Ya'er Adonai panav alecha v'chonecha. Yisa Adonai panav alecha v'yisem lecha shalom. May Yah bless you and keep you. May Yah make His face to shine on you and show you His favor. May the Lord above lift up His face toward you and give you peace. Shalom. Amen. Okay.